Blog Talk Radio.
The call to post means it's time for Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia, around the Mid-Atlantic, and across the country. Off to the Races is powered by the Racing Biz, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Find them at www.theracingbiz.com. Now here's your host with Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to you. My name is Frank Vespi here on Off to the Races. Thanks for spending a little bit of your Saturday morning with us. We're going to be gathering the gang to talk about Breeders' Cup weekend. I just don't even know what to say. Did we even see what we saw last night at Breeders' Cup Friday? I think we saw it, but we're going to have to ask the team. And then Saturday, we got nine races on tap, nine Breeders' Cup races, culminating in the Breeders' Cup Classic. That's the 12th race from Del Mar this evening. It's going to go off around 8:40 Eastern time. Knicks Go, Maryland bred, 5-2 morning line favorite. Central Quality, the two-year-old champ who has lost a single race in his career. He was fourth beat a length in the Kentucky Derby. He's 3-1. Both of them toil for Brad Cox. So Brad Cox could be sitting on a pretty good day. And, you know, let's get ourselves in the mood here. Let's do this for a second.
Where the turf meets the surf, down at old El Mar, take a plane, take a train, take a car. There's a smile on every face, and a winner in each race. Where the turf meets the surf at Del Mar.
All right, that's got us feeling a little bit better. Nick Hahn, you're on the line. What's happening?
Good morning.
Good morning. So did anything happen last night, Nick?
Oh, boy. I mean, what a week this has been. I mean, starting out in Norman, Oklahoma, making a massive drive back. Actually got a chance to see Remington Park while I was out there. That was pretty cool. Flight delays, opening of the Hampton-Sydney basketball season, which was outstanding last night.
Congratulations to your son on a good game.
I mean, that was a very encouraging outing to see there. And then in the midst of all of that, having the Friday night, Saturday quick return for countless numbers of graded stakes races. I mean, we saw one thing I picked up on. I couldn't watch races live, so I kind of tried to watch them in real time and not look at any of my texts last night. Good thing to be in Farmville because I don't get internet service down there anyway. But the but it was just watching it last night. I mean, I saw closers on the turf and speed on the dirt. I mean, that's the way the Breeders' Cup races kind of obviously fell out for me, except for the first one. I mean, it was a lot of exciting action, a lot of long shots. Echo Zulu there with I didn't think the horse was going to run like that, but a very impressive outing there. Hidden Connection didn't have the best start in that race, but it was an exciting night of racing. One of the horses last night closed from completely, was a half mile from the wire, was in last place. I mean, every race last night was an adventure.
That's putting it mildly, and you're adeptly dancing around the elephant in the room. Bill is going to address the elephant in the room here. Derby Bill, you liked Albar, you liked Modern Games, you got neither of them.
This definitely was a eventful and fast-paced Breeders' Cup Juvenile Day for a non-geek who tried to, you know, cancel and cancel and cancel. I think I had $100 worth of cancels before the final race yesterday, and then tried to adjust, and it's not good unless you're a, you know, 15-year-old geek.
it's tough to keep up, but I mean, were you watching the races? I assume you were watching while you were wagering. You're probably thinking, okay, Modern Games, he looks really good, and then he's scratched, and then he's not scratched, but he's running for purse money only. You got to be losing your mind a little bit.
I was like a chic in disarray. I was like a chic seeing gas at $1.99.
it was nuts. Absolutely nuts. Go ahead.
I adjusted as fast as I could and did get a ticket down on Tis a Bomb in Nick's honor. So I did get $4 on Tis a Bomb, and I have Tis a Bomb in the double. So, you know, I adjusted like a nice 15-year-old geek. I did hit that at least.
Well, good job. Well done. I'm glad you did. A lot of people, of course, ended up with Dakota Gold, the three horse who went off as the 5-2 favorite and finished sort of an indifferent fifth. I mean, Modern Games.
So I'm just picking up on this, Frank. What happened with Modern Games here? It looks like Tis the Bomb. I was going through my account, and I saw where I had more money than I should have had, and I just thought there were enough scratches to, you know, maybe I bet wrong or something. But I have a win payout on Tis the Bomb now that I see, you know, now that you pointed it out. What happened with Modern Games?
Well, it's funny you should ask. It was the sort of debacle, fiasco, and train wreck that can only happen in horse racing. So there were two horse. There was Modern Games was the one horse. Albar was the two horse, both trained by Charlie Appleby for Godolphin. Albar got worked up in the gate, got himself kind of flipped, you know, got hung up on the gate. He had hooves over the top of it, and they scratched him. So they scratch Albar, and they have to, you know, reasonably, you know, they pull everybody out of the gate. They want to examine the one and the three, the two horses that were on either side of Albar. And the vet, so they say, this is what the California Horse Racing Board is saying, thought that Albar had run off, so he scratched him. But he hadn't run off. So they took him off the board, and then California rules are that if they take him off the board at all, even for 1 second, then he's got to come off the board altogether and cannot be wagered on, cannot be considered for wagering purposes. So they then said, okay, you can run for purse money only. And that put a lot of people, as you know, Bill was alluding to, onto the favorite, because in your multi-race, you lose your horse, you get the post-time favorite, who is Dakota Gold. Dakota Gold is a perfectly nice horse. He wasn't going to win yesterday. I mean, it was enough of a debacle, and it really was a debacle, that if you go back and watch the race, Nick, Modern Games was ultra impressive. That horse is a beast. He looked tremendous. As he was coming back after the race, people were booing. Obviously, they're not booing him because he was, you know, he was phenomenal, or the jockey or the trainer. They're booing Breeders' Cup and the California Horse Racing Board for, let's be honest, screwing them out of winning bets. I mean, it was insane. Is that about right, Bill? Did I about hit that?
Yeah, it's like taking a touchdown away from somebody in football, or a three-pointer at the buzzer in basketball. People had bet the pick threes, the pick fours, the pick fives into Modern Games, and then did not have enough time to adjust. And if, like Nick said, if you bet early and left and, you know, come in today, you're in shock. Yeah, some people are in shock, but, you know, it was just just not proper to let the horse run for purse money only. And the only people run for purse money only is is for mall shoppers. You know, if you're at the mall shopping or something, purse money only works there. But not in horse racing when you got gamblers with doubles, you have, you know, multiple bets from all over. And they had pools overseas that were still taking bets on modern game when the race went off. So this will be, you know, you won't hear Baffert's name for a while. You'll hear about this for a while.
About that. Did it happen at Saratoga or Monmouth in a big race over the summer where one of the horses ran for purse money only for not that reason, but for a very similar reason? Do you remember? I'm trying to recall that in my mind. I just saw that recently. I can't remember where.
Yeah, I think you may be right. It may have happened over the summer. I mean, I just this was a level of insanity that is hard to take. And now, Bill, you just mentioned Baffert, and I did want to touch on Baffert too, because his horse Corniche won the juvenile pretty impressively. You know, went straight to the lead and didn't stop, which would likely make him the favorite for, or certainly a major contender for. I mean, it's early days still, of course, for the Kentucky Derby. Except Baffert can't run. His horse can't run in the Kentucky Derby because he has been ruled off for 2 years, according to Churchill Downs. Chuck Simon, you're just joining us here. And you had said earlier that you thought Baffert would be the big story. Baffert turns out not to be the big story because of the fiasco with Modern Games. But I wonder if you could address the Baffert situation as I just outlined it.
Well, when Jack Christopher scratched, it really opened up the race for Baffert to win, because he essentially had the only pace horses in the race. And, you know, with Corniche on the outside, he figured to clear. And, you know, it's just an uncomfortable situation. And you have a, you know, we have a scenario now where KentuckyDerby.com is tweeting out congratulations to the winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile in Connections. And then, you know, like, I'm not sure if that was, like, the biggest troll ever or, you know, there was just a mistake by the social media person, because it's just such a crazy situation. And, you know, I put out a tweet last night after the horse won, before the chaos ensued, that he's going to be, you know, he's been installed the future book favorite for the Preakness. Because even though there is no future book for the Preakness.
Right. But he can't go to the Derby.
He can't go to the Derby, and the Belmont is questionable. So the Preakness it is. It's just, it's amazing that it's an embarrassing situation. Yet it was kind of a hold your beer moment, you know, because what happened, and I will admit, I will say this, I wasn't an innocent bystander in that situation, as I had singled the one and the two Charlie Appleby horses in the pick three to pick four. And, you know, it happened, okay? Horses flip over in the gate, and unfortunately, it doesn't happen in big races very often, but it does happen. I mean, you know, it's a big stage. You got a horse shipping them all over the world. They get keyed up. You know, and these guys have them honed to an edge, right? This is the biggest race of their career yet, and it was unfortunate that you know, the two horses flipped over in the gate and kind of, you know, caused all this chaos. But then everything that happened from there is just not acceptable. You know, we've had such a focus on the veterinary side, the horse safety side, for the big events, the Breeders' Cup, especially after what happened at Santa Anita a few years ago with the horse in the Classic. And to think that it would be so mismanaged on the ground, that they would scratch a horse that shouldn't be scratched that just happened to be the favorite for the race. And the stewards need to take blame. They're the ones that make the official scratches. And I just don't know how we can stay with a straight face as an industry that, you know, the horse won, people that bet the horse don't get to win, the horse's connections get the money. And, you know, like, to me, the big issue isn't that he ran for purse money only. It's the situation that caused him to run for purse money only. And, in any other business, you know, heads would roll. There would be big, big issues. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in money was taken from our customers. It's just amazing that we're so inept. And I know people get after me and they get mad and they say, well, you know, you've been in the industry, you shouldn't knock the industry. The industry deserves knocking. We deserve to be knocked. It's an embarrassment. Our racing officials, and not all of them, now there's some good ones, but for the most part, they're either not really good enough or they're undertrained or there's not good enough protocols. And, I mean, we can't just keep having these mistakes time and time and time and time again. It's bad, like you said leading off, it's bad enough that we have this awkward backward situation, right? But who does it really affect in the end? It affects Baffert, affects the horses in question. But for everyone else, it's just kind of it's kind of like you see an accident on the side of the road and you rubberneck a little bit and kind of see what's going on. It doesn't really affect your life, you know, but it just held you up in traffic a little bit. That's what this is. The other thing, that's horse racing slamming into the side of our car at 30 miles an hour and then saying, oops, well, the road was slippery. Sorry.
Oh, and I'll take your car, too. No, you're exactly right.
I wasn't expecting much, but the two press releases were basically the Breeders' Cup blames the CHRB. The CHRB was like, oh, well, yeah, we scratched horse, and we unscratched him because, oh, there wasn't really anything wrong with him. And then we invoked this rule, 1974. Well, how about invoking this rule? Everybody that was involved has a new job next week.
Well,
not regulating horse racing because they're just doing a terrible job.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, it's as you said. I mean, there rarely seems to be a penalty for failure, and this is a colossal failure. And as you pointed out, you know, the Baffert situation is embarrassing, but it's not even close to the most embarrassing thing that happened for the game yesterday, because the situation with Modern Games is a complete debacle. All right, we should move on because we got a lot of races to talk about here, and hopefully today will be a better day. Tomorrow is another day, as they said. So let's dive in. Filly and Mare Sprint, anybody going to be Gammy? Another Baffert horse? I think you're taking a swing, right, Chuck?
I am all in on Bella Sophia. I've been all in on Bella Sophia since she won the test. I just think she is getting better and better and better. She's just about as fast as Gammine is already. She's getting 2 pounds. And I don't think Gammine's been at her best. She wasn't as good as a 4-year-old as she was a 3-year-old. And she's still extremely good. But, you know, she's gotten out in a couple of her races. To me, if she's ever going to get through, it's going to be this race. So, you know, at a sprint distance. I hate that we have a 5-horse field. But it also helps a little bit in that Rosario is going to be able to, you know, I think Rosario is going to be under pressure the whole way. And, you know, Gammine in their two non-California races this year got really, really, really soft paces. I mean, 23 and change, great white sprints. Hold on 1 second.
Sure. hey, Bill, are you on Bella Sophia? Are you going to stick with Gammine or are you going elsewhere?
Definitely, Gamine's the top pick here. It's hard to beat. I like the awesome patriot daughter there, though, and being awesome patriotic like Mr. Simon is. If he hits this one, he's up for vice racing commissioner job under Frank Vespi for horse racing commissioner Frank Vespi campaign.
I like it. I'll get my campaign signs made up right away. It'll be and I'll have the
better,
law firm of
be
Simon
really
and Watson.
Job. It better
What's
be
that?
A really good paying job. It better be a really, really good paying job because...
Yeah, I'll get the Dubai. Godolphin will pay your salary, so it will be enormous.
Okay, well, as long as it's enormous.
All right,
Bella
right.
has a shot, obviously, but Gamine is in Baffert, and it's all set up for Baffert to have another good day in California, basking in the sun. He had two wins yesterday, and I see his trend continuing here, so I'm just not going to play this race unless it's in a pick three or pick four or pick five because I can't beat Gamine.
Nick, you agree with that?
I do. It strikes me funny talking about Baffert here, and you know, one of these days we got to have some resolution about where Baffert lies in this sport as an industry. But isn't it funny that he's kind of become sort of a quadre Pete Rose of the sport, and Pete Rose was suspended from baseball for gambling, and Bob Baffert suspended for a substance issue. You would almost think the way baseball works, it would almost be the opposite. I think Gamine defends her title here. I like her as a 4-year-old. With these sprints, Bella Sophia is a 3-year-old, certainly is coming on. And maybe we'll see the changing of the guard here today between these two. But I learned my lesson with Echo Zulu, kind of following. I didn't listen to Chuck yesterday, and Echo Zulu probably had the best, one of the better performances of the day, if not the best. So Gamine here in the Philly and Mare Sprint.
I find it interesting that you said you learned your lesson yesterday when you didn't listen to Chuck, and apparently the lesson you learned is not to listen to Chuck again because you're on opposite sides here.
Yeah. Well, with the big favorite, big performance here, I think Gamine puts in a big one.
All right, let's move on. Fifth race, Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. There's 100 horses here. Many of them are very fast. There's a dozen in. Two old friends of the show, Caravelle, the PA bred filly, bred by Elizabeth Merriman, formerly trained by her, has not run very well since shifting into the Grand Motion barn. And then Extravagant Kid for owner David Ross, a Virginia fella. Nick, you've talked with David Ross a lot over the years. Give us a thumbnail on Extravagant Kid.
I think this is a horse of one at Colonial Downs. He acquired this horse. He had a lot of fun with this horse over the summer. He loved going out to Dubai, never been there before. He loved going to England and wearing the top hats. And you kind of wonder, we're going to be watching Extravagant Kid, rooting for this horse for sure. But as an 8-year-old, you kind of wonder where the career might be finally catching up to this horse. Hadn't run well since winning that sprint out in the desert. So I'm going to have some stuff on Extravagant Kid. I kind of find this race interesting in that you have like a horse like with the Europeans coming in, and this is where Sir Derby Bill working his ascot over the summer going to English racing might really pay off for a handicapping standpoint here on Breeders' Cup Day. But you have a horse like a case of You, who has beaten Glass Slippers twice in the last two starts, outfinished that horse. This horse is 8-1. over Glass Slippers, who's 6-1. I see real opportunity in this race, especially coming from a case of you. I really like this horse here, and I like Kamari a little bit well, so as well. But Wesley Ward, of course, has 3 horses. This is another one of these races where their trainer is triple loaded. We've seen that a lot in the Breeders' Cup so far this year. I'm going to go with one of the other Wesley Wards here, and I like A Case of You here. I think this horse will be a good price. You'll see a lot of value after Gamin throughout the day here.
Golden Pals, a 7-2 favorite in this one for Wesley Ward. Chuck, what are you looking at here? Did we lose Chuck? He's allegedly here. Chuck, you with us? Not at the moment. Bill.
Chuck is a scratch, but he's not a scratch.
He's showing up as here, but not currently here at the moment. Bill, what do you got in the turf sprint?
Amerithy Ante, the 2-horse here. Kevin Ryan has Amerithy Ante and the uncoupled Glass Slippers here. And my nights of watching Longchamp, my mornings of watching Longchamp and Kura, opposite of Frank, staying up late for the Australian racing late at night. I'm a early morning guy at my age. Goodwood, Haddock, York, Hamilton, Newmarket, all early riser races to follow. And these two have come out of those type races. And as usual, the Europeans come over here and try to dominate the sprint turf races here. You mentioned Golden Pal, the 3-horse, will be heavily bet, as the Ortiz-Ward connection should go as a favorite. And Lieutenant Dan, another one I'm using in here, Lieutenant Dan, just off 3 impressive California wins, a couple wins at Del Mar is the key there. So the 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, testing. Those four horses are in my box.
Those four are in the box, okay.
Chuck Simon running for purse money only here, I guess.
Apparently that's right. Chuck, if you hear us, you feel free to show up on the tote board anytime.
He was stunned by the extravagant kid commentary by Nick and, dropped his phone and he's trying to put it back together, from what I hear.
Yeah, it was stunning. I mean, you can't say otherwise. All right, let's move on to the 6th race, Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, 1 mile main track. Life is Good is 4-5 on the morning line for Todd Pletcher, has lost only one race, that being the Alan Jerkins Memorial at Saratoga over the summer, where the comment line reads overconfident handling, and that led directly to a jockey switch from Mike Smith, Tyrod Ortiz. Bill, anybody beating Life is Good?
No, yeah, I'm going to try to beat him with Silver State. Silver State's coming from post 1, and hopefully he just goes for it. Consistently speedy horse, 4-year-old son of Hard Spun, and the Hard Spuns are doing very well lately. A few of them have wins in my pocket, purse orientated, not non-purse only, my purse. 7 of 13 Silver State career wins and triple digit speed ratings here. I think he can steal the race from the rail. Life is Good, always good for some people that bet Life is Good named Baffert, but and used to be Baffert, now it's Todd Pletcher, but it's still a Baffert horse. Life is Good. The other one I'm throwing in here is a get your sake ready, the Japanese colt Ping Zhang. I just like saying that. Ping Zhang. I like this one coming late in the race to get a piece of the pie. So Ping and zang that one, buddy.
That's trainer Hideyuki Mori, who had the horse that ran in the Preakness this year, whose name escapes me at the moment, but has returned with a number of horses. Nick, what about you? What are you seeing here?
You know, kind of a brewing situation, very similar to what we might see with Corniche, you know, Baffert horses being, you know, a target candidate for the Triple Crown. Of course, Life is Good went under different, went east and was shipped east by Windstar. And Todd Pletcher is now the trainer record of Life is Good. This horse, big performance, maiden breaking score at Del Mar, so that's certainly a feather in his cap. I take note of your comment on the overconfident handling. It looks like the chart callers have gone from just saying what happens out there to offering a little bit of opinion themselves, even though that was very apparent in that race in the Jerkins there. But I am going to try and beat this horse, try and find some value here with Ginobili. Yesterday, playing that basketball in Farmville for Hampton Sydney, when a horse is owned by Slam Dunk Racing, I'm so inspired by the outing yesterday, it's made me kind of move off this horse a little bit. Life is Good, and try and find some value. Ping Zhang, I also have that horse working in the exotics as well. So I'm going to go Ginobili, Life is Good, Ping Zhang. And I think Silver State is – I'm trying to find a way to bet that horse, but I just don't think that horse at 7-2 is the same horse as we saw over the spring and early summer. Some nice outing sense with Santana, but 7-2, I'm staying away, and it sounds like others might be too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Steve Asmus and the trainer there could have a pretty productive day if Silver State and a couple other horses run to their best form. So, with not much love for Life is Good here. Interesting. A little Ginobili, a little Silver State, a little Ping Zhang. Some different options here from our handicappers, Nick Hahn and Derby Bill Watson here on Off to the Races. On to the 7th, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf going 1 mile and 3/8 on the green stuff. I don't know. I kind of like Rougier here a little bit. What about you, Bill?
A lot of love for that horse in this race. A lot of love in this race for Rougier. It's 6-1. I like the price. Euro, as we've said numerous times, they just gobble up these races for some reason, and this is why they come over here. But like a horse called Speaking of Love, number 6, Love, is Aidan O'Brien and 007 James Bond, Roger Moore. Up at 4-1. I believe he might even be the favorite. And then the other horse was Love that confused me in this race, which is not hard to do in life, is the Japan horse, Love's Only You. So we have a Love and a Love's Only You. And Love's Only You is the pronunciation of the trainer. The combo is just baffling to me. Kawada Yakaga. How's that?
It's Derby Bill is what it is.
That's it. So love, a lot of love in this race. Love's Only You, Love, and Rougier.
All right. Sounds good. The favorite here actually is Warlike Goddess, the 7-horse for Bill Mott, 7-2 morning line. Nick, Warlike Goddess, you think that horse is going to go favored?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think that horse should be the favorite in this group and very well could go off as the favorite. Won't be a high favorite. Nobody wants to bet favorites on Breeders' Cup Day, especially with the fields, with these fields that show up here later in the card. Kind of a similar situation, with Rougier. This is a horse that beat – at 6-1 in his last start. Out finished this horse that's 5-1. Ardaria, who is actually sired by the same horse that sired Wooden Asset, who won the Virginia Derby here at Colonial Downs. But so I tried to find a little bit deeper price in the morning line, and went with the four horse here. I'm going to use Warlike Goddess as well, and I think this Going to Vegas horse has an opportunity here. You know, it just seems to be kind of a hot horse, has a win at Del Mar here in a grade two, at grade one. At 12-1, I see that. I don't see why this horse Going to Vegas can't win the race either. So watch the odds coming up as they approach. You know, may want to hold back a little bit in terms of you're wagering until you see how these pools might shake out, because I think there could be some shifting of them, and go for price. And this is very typical of an opportunity to do so.
I think we have our entrant running for purse money only back. Chuck, are you with us? And if so, what do you make of the Philly and Mare Turf?
You know, my tepid selection here is Love's Only You. She's been racing against top flight, you know, the top of the top, not just filly races. It's just kind of a wide open race. And sometimes I look for Warlike Goddess and I say to myself, am I just being contrary to try to throw the American horses out? Because, I mean, she's done absolutely nothing wrong. And it's not like she's just winning these races. She's dominating the races. So, Rapier is another one I thought had a shot. This is really a tough race.
It is a tough race. I agree with that. I guess I just feel, and Chuck, I'm curious to you. I mean, I just feel like historically the Group 1 races in Europe are better than our Grade 1s over here. And so, in theory, horses winning those races ought to be better than the ones winning them here.
Yeah, you know, in theory they should be. You know, the one thing that is always the X factor in these type of races is the ground. And, you know, Del Mar is a little bit of a different turf course than, like, you know, Keeneland was last year, where it actually wasn't given the ground. So, you know, you're assuming that the trainers and connections know this. I mean, it's not like they're not cognizant of the fact that Del Mar is probably going to be a pretty firm turf, but you know, some of the horses come over here, and this is why we get long shots in some of these races, especially from Europe, in that the horses really relish the firm ground. They've been racing on soft ground over there and really just wanted, you know, a little tighter. So it's just like the guy said, you know, you got to try to get priced in these type of races. So I really don't have a strong feeling either way, though.
All right.
Frank,
I
want to throw out just a quick question here, because this comes up every year in the Breeders' Cup. The European horses come over, and there's this, and I'd like to just kind of hear maybe just a school of thought in terms of, is it a stereotype that all the European turf courses are heavy and yielding and soft, and the American turf courses are firm? And then the other part of it is, do the horses that come over from Europe come over because they like the firm turf over here? And if they like the soft going, if that's true in Europe, they stay over there because they perform so well on it. I'd just kind of like to hear a little bit of talk about that, because I think that's big, especially on a day like today.
I think Chuck might be best qualified to tackle that.
I think that, you know, the Europeans definitely are far more cognizant of the ground they're running on. And you're like European soft horses, when they say heavy, that kind of course would almost never be found here. They just wouldn't run on it in this, you know, maybe in the Breeders' Cup. Yes, they may. But like a European heavy course, it's something beyond yielding. So, you know, certainly they're aware of it, and I think it's part of – I mean, I've seen Europeans, really good Europeans, pass the Breeders' Cup because they thought that the horses wouldn't handle firmer ground. So, but in the end, you know what? You really don't know until you do it, and, you know, that's why – The favorites don't, you know, well, I shouldn't say favorites don't always win. The favorites don't win these races a lot. So, you know, it's a tough call.
I think one other sort of point, Nick, that's familiar to you and maybe to some of our listeners is Wooten Asset, the horse that won the Virginia Derby. They sent him here specifically because they wanted to get him on firm turf, and they weren't going to get it in France where he had been racing. And that hasn't always worked out as it's happened, but that was sort of the rationale there. That was one of the rationales. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out here, but certainly if you think the Euros are going to handle turf, you're going to have a lot of choices here in some of these races to handle firm turf. Let's move on to the sprint, which is race 8. We got, speaking of Steve Asmussen, Jackie's Warrior, 6-5 morning line. We also got Maryland bred in here in the form of Aloha West, the 5-horse for Wayne Catalano. And Derby Bill, what are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how the Europeans are winning, and I think they like coming over for the American food, the In-N-Out burger out west, and I think that has a factor in it compared to the European food. I would not want to go to Europe and eat the rest of my life. So there is a food factor involved in my logic there. Jackie's Warrior, obviously Rosario's rode this horse just since forever, and Rosario got a big win yesterday, and Atkinson's always dangerous, the Hall of Fame performer, but I'm going to use the doctor here. Seen the doctor enough this year that I'm going to dedicate this race to the doctor. Dr. Cheval is fully capable of an upset here. I think Jackie's Warrior is the one to beat, but Dr. Cheval, the key here, 3-for-3.
Would you finish? Okay. Bob was coming tomorrow,
okay.
And she will change the
lock. Okay.
So, Gabby,
sorry, go ahead, Bill.
Was that an objection from the racing steward?
Yeah, they're trying to figure out, you know, the purse money only situation. So,
Dr. Cheval, yeah, simply he's 3-for-3 at Del Mar, and I like a horse for the course. So, and 4-for-4 at 6 furlongs. So I like a horse for the course and a horse for the distance. And I'm trying to beat Jackie's Warrior because my purse needs expansion.
Yeah, no, a horse that loves the track and loves the trip is often a good place to start. What about you, Nick?
I'm trying to figure out why Special Reserve. Maybe I need better glasses. Is this horse 6-to-1 or 8-to-1? I think I see 8-to-1 here. It's kind of
six.
Hard to see. It's 6. I drew my check mark right through the odds line, so I couldn't really pick up on what it was. I mean, this horse lost a Lexingtonian, was up at Saratoga to see that race. And Lexingtonian that day just ran a superb race, just out of the clouds, master performance here at 6 furlongs at Saratoga. But you know, just getting beat a half length that day, you kind of, if you want to draw a line through a second place finish, you look at what this horse has done at various venues throughout the year. I think this horse is a great price at 6-1 and a real opportunity. I certainly like Jackie's Warrior, you know, but at 6-5, it's going to be as obvious as it may be with Gamine earlier today, in terms of just a overwhelming favorite putting in a big effort. Special Reserve's been incredibly consistent. Came off the layoff with a Grade 2 win at Keeneland. I just think that's going to be, you know, a strong play for me here.
All right, Special Reserve, a strong play. He also won the we saw him in Maryland, won the Maryland Sprint over Preakness weekend at Pimlico. Chuck, what about you? Where are you going here? It's possible we have lost Chuck.
I think I'm here. I think Jackie Warrior has to basically fall down and lose the rider to get beaten this race. He's just better than these horses. He's faster than them. I think if he breaks sharp, I looked at the race and I thought to myself, which one of these jocks is going to say, hey, I got to go put pressure on Jackie's Warrior? None of them. None of them are really speed horses.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't think that – I think he's just faster than them. His sheet numbers, he's faster than them, and he's gotten better. And in the race in Saratoga, the Alan Jerkins, he did show – he can rate a little bit. I mean, he kind of got outrun more than rated, but he doesn't have to be on the lead. And I think that's important if somebody does go like kamikaze out of there. But I'm not a talk player, and I think the only other horse with a fighting shot, if Jackie's Warrior just simply doesn't show up, is Dr. Scheivel. That's another three-year-old that has progressed nicely. He's kind of versatile. I mean, he won his last race with one rein, which is not an easy thing to do.
Right.
I just don't think the older horses are any good, to be honest. I think they're a very mediocre group of older horses, older sprinters. Last year's was a very mediocre group of older sprinters. And, you know, to me, this is Jackie's Warrior's race to lose. And I have him as the strongest favorite in the event.
All right. Well, there's an endorsement.
Yeah, one
Nick,
quick note on Jackie's Warrior. How Life is Good runs might determine how well Jackie's Warrior runs earlier in the card. That might be something to follow. From
yeah, they
jerk,
saw
well,
each
you know,
other in the Jerkins. You're right.
Life is Good is about as close to a cinch as possible, except for the presence of those two Japanese horses in that race, including one of them who did kamikaze out to the lead in the Breeders' Cup Sprint last year and went 21 and changed 44 to the half, and, like, no one saw that coming. Why those horses are entered in the mile race, why one wasn't put in the sprint, I don't know. It was a little bizarre to me. But the only thing about Life is Good is that he has not shown that he can be headed and win. He has always been on the lead. So, that's kind of the only caveat with him, is that there might be a potential horse goes out there, because we haven't, you know, the Japanese horses have been absolutely underreported. Nobody knows anything about them. I mean, seriously, like nobody knows anything about them. And I'm not saying they can win, but the guy enters two in a race, and you know how that happens a lot of times. You're entering two in a race because you want one to set the pace up for the other one. So that's the only thing that scares me about Life is Good. And again, like I said, I'm not a chalk player. But if they let Life is Good go and have it get to the half of 47, well, hell, they might as well just pull up. It's over.
All right. That's the Breeders' Cup Sprint, Jackie's Warrior and friends. Let's move on to the mile on the green stuff. Take out the 8 horse here, hit the road for Dan Blacker, a scratch. Favorite is our old friend Charlie Appleby, Space Blues.
Blues.
We'll be seeing if he's running for purse money only or actually in as a wagering available contestant. Well, let's start with you, Derby Bill. What you got here?
It's not hard to fall from the apple in this race. Charles, Master of the Seas and Space Blues here. Space Blues, interesting, ran against Extravagant Kid back in the Maydene race. That Extravagant Kid become a millionaire in. And Space Blues has a Buick. Is a Buick steering him, and, you know, I like a full tank of Buick. So Space Blue will be in my ticket, and Godolphin is you know, not in my love fest after what happened yesterday, but with my betting. But they do have the horses, man. Master of the Sea, Space Blues, Exacta here. Master of the Seas might get you 12-1 or better here, and surprise a lot of people here. Wanted to take Smooth Like Straight number 2 because not a country music freak, but, you know, love George Strait. So that might be a sentimental $2 pick there on Smooth Like Straight, so I can keep it easy on the mind and just box the 1, 2, 3.
It's just a sentimental journey for Derby Bill. Nick, what do you say?
Yeah, Space Blues there, Charles Appleby. I got hearty endorsement yesterday, or was that Thursday night on the show? Jesus, been a long week. I like more Forza here. What's this horse done wrong? Won 2 races out of Del Mar on the turf. Maybe a home field horse here with Peter Miller, 5-1. I think an opportunity to go against a favorite here, you know, with horses that, you know, may or may not run well on the turf out of Del Mar. So I like more Forza here.
All right, that sounds good. Hey, Chuck, what you got?
You know, Space Blues should win this race. I mean, he's the best horse. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to. This is another race that it just is very difficult to come up with. I actually, like, hit the road, and unfortunately he got hurt. I thought he ran really well in those California races, which Smooth Like Straight and Mo Forza came out. And they're 5-horse races. So this is going to be a totally different animal here today, running against 14 or 13. I don't know if the out – did the Oswald will draw in?
I have not. The last I looked, scratches were not yet up, so I don't know
because
what they're doing.
That real appeal to me was a horse that had a shot as a long shot. He just happened to be on the AE, so I don't know, and they haven't really conveyed it. And Smooth Like Straight is not scratched, as you know, on the ADWs as of yet. I bet Blowout last time at Keeneland and she went wire to wire, but I think she was very fortunate to win that day. Her own stablemate almost beat her, and this is a tougher field. Mother Earth is kind of like an inner and outer. Got Stormy, I never guess right on. There's one long shot here that I think that will – I believe in his trainer, and I think the horse has got a shot to run kind of like Pizza Bianca did. And it'll be closing, and he's going to have to get lucky. He's going to have to find every seam and not get blocked. But I'm going to take a little bit of a shot with Catholic Creed, the 13. He was going to be in the back anyways. I mean, he's a closer. And, you know, post-13, of course, never ideal. But like I said, he's going to be probably laying 12th, 13th anyways. So if he can get lucky, and I think he's going to be about 30-1, to be honest. I don't think his price is even close. And by the way, we were right about the morning line in the race yesterday, the last race, the debacle race, because the horse that they had morning line favorite went off 11-1. And obviously the 1 and the 2 were the favorites before, you know, the chaos ensued.
Before they weren't, yeah.
But, yeah, Casa Creek to me is like a horse that's just – I can just see him running by them all at the wire and paying like he did at Belmont in that race, and he paid like $40, and I'm thinking, I like that horse. Why didn't I bet him? But I'll be honest, I could see like 10 different horses winning this race.
I think you're definitely right. I think he's going to go up. He's 15-1 morning line Casa Creed. I think he goes up from there because he never gets bet. I mean, he's always 5, 6, 10-1. So if he's 5, 6, 10-1 in a grade 3 turf sprint, he's not going to be 15 probably in a grade 1 turf mile. So, all right, Casa Creed we got some Mo Forza, we got some Space Blues. We got lots of stuff here for the mile. Let's head on to the next race, which is the 10th. That's the Distaff. A mile and an eighth for the fillies and mares. And Latruska is 8-5 on the morning line for Fausto Gutierrez. And all she's done this year is everything possible right. And Chuck, if I recall correctly, you are going to take a stand against.
You know, I won't feel bad if he wins the race, if she wins the race, and Fausto gets the, you know, gets the Breeders' Cup win. And I mean, I think he's already kind of locked up the older filly Eclipse Award. I mean, he's won. He won almost all the winning your interfaces. I just think it's been a long campaign, and I think the Private Mission from the rail has no choice but to send out of there. I think that Horologist is going to be up close to the pace, and I don't think Latrushka is going to get a soft lead. Like, she's gotten quite a few soft leads this year, and I don't think she's going to get it. And this is the most, you know, this is the best field that's been assembled this year, you know, depth-wise. Malifat, we still don't know a whole lot about her because she doesn't run very often, but she always runs good. Royal Flag, I worry that she may have run her big race last time. On the third rep, she got a -1.5 in her last race at Belmont, which for a filly is just spectacularly fast. Put it this way, Latrushka hasn't run lower than a half point. So if Royal Flag duplicates that race, she will win this race. Whether she can or not, I don't know. Clairiere is kind of like the wise guy horse, and she seems like she's really coming into this, you know, at a peak. Certainly the distance won't be a problem. And if there is a pace meltdown, if there is even strong pace, it's going to play in her favor. What I'm going to probably do is use 5 or 6 of them in the horizontal bets. I'll probably use Royal Flag, Malifat, Clairiere. I might even throw in She Dares the Devil a little bit, though I don't really like her that much. I don't know why, but I've never been right on this horse. She's one of those horses I'm always betting against if she wins and vice versa. But I think you're always looking for long shots, right? Dunbar Road might be a horse that's kind of forgotten. I mean, last year Dunbar Road was considered better than Royal Flag. And I think Royal Flag is going to be second or third choice, by the way. I don't think 8-1 is anywhere near where she's going to be. But Dunbar Road might be the horse that you know, winds up the picking up the pieces and you know, rolling by them all. But I'm betting against Latrushka. But like I said, if she wins, you know what? God bless her. And it's nice to see the small guy, you know, have the best horse.
Yeah, you just if she wins, you just got to take your hat off to her for the season she's had. She's all she's done is win Grade One races all year. Nick Hahn, what about you?
I think I've used Latrushka, you know, counting back all the 5 last wins, which always seem to be on the bigger race days. I'm almost sure I've used Latrushka as a single in a pick 3 or double or multi race wager every time, and every time this horse has come through. That said, I think all good streaks come to an end, and I tend to agree with Chuck here in trying to find value somewhere else. I'm going Dunbar Road is a horse. I mean, wasn't it just like yesterday she was the favorite for the Kentucky Oaks in the futures betting? And I was kind of surprised to look down and see this horse as a 5-year-old because it seems like just yesterday, you know, we were big on this horse. I like She Dares the Devil here. I think maybe an opportunity to move up. She doesn't really stack up against some of these triples that you see in the buyers column with others here. But I think just maybe I always like diversity and versatility, and I kind of like the wins going from Churchill to Del Mar to, you know, Churchill again to Oaklawn. I mean, just when a horse wins on so many different tracks like that, to me it's a sign of talent, and I think that might be an opportunity to fuzzy out some of the buyers in this. I generally like 4-year-olds, you know, in these races as well. So I'm going to go with She Dares the Devil and try and beat Latrushka. Clairiere is a horse that I've liked, but I can't, you know, it's like right bet, wrong race over and over with that horse. You know I like the Curlins too. But Malifat, also interesting here. But I'm going to do what I probably shouldn't do, is is try and go wide here in the multis and not use Letruska.
I like it. What about you, Bill?
I'm a Letruska fan here. Sorry about that. He's beaten Dunbar Road. He's beaten Royal Flags. He's beaten She Dares the Devil. She Dares the Devil did get retribution and beat. The only horse in here to beat Letruska is She Dares the Devil. So, yeah, I might include that one in here. But this is a single for me. Letruska, 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 Letruska.
Well, that's making it easy there. All right, it's all Letruska for Bill, and it's not Letruska at all for Nick, and not so much for Chuck either.
Non-wagering on that superfecta.
Two races to go. Let's march through them here. Breeders' Cup Turf is next, mile and a half on the green stuff. Two horses are out. United and Domestic Spending, that's the two and the three. Domestic Spending in particular was 4-1 on the morning line, so was obviously a logical contender. The favorite in here is Tarnawa for Dermot Weld, the defending champ of this race, who has raced in Ireland and France so far this year, and most recently came in second in the Arc de Triomphe Derby. Bill, this is a race filled with horses whose names you should have fun with. Have at it.
Let's start with Tiona. Tiona, the easiest one, the shortest. Well, besides Gufo. Gufo, we all know, the horse is just a dominant turf racing phenom for Christopher Cremont, and good to see him get his first Breeders' Cup win ever yesterday. Just a classy turf connoisseur like Derbyville. Mr. Clement also enjoys the finer things and food. Not like Bobby Flay and, you know, 160-pound guy trying to be Chef Boyardee. But Gufo, a nice win for Bobby yesterday. That was a remarkable race, and I hope he can afford to put extra pepperonis on his pizza and on that pizza horse.
Not on white Gufo, pizza, you don't.
No.
No, it's Pizza Bianca. It's white pizza. Yeah, no pepperoni on white pizza. You do that for the red sauce. Come on.
I figured there's something wrong with it. So it had to be done something healthy orientated for Bobby Flay. I mean,
and
I'm
we
more
know
a,
you oppose that, Derby Bill.
Oh yeah, I'm a double meat guy. Double pepperoni. They used to have a pizza called plain, and they called it supreme when I went to. First time I ever went to Pizza Hut. They turned it into a supreme double meat. And this race is full of horses that can pay for that. Gufo could win here. Broom, 20-1 here. So I like 3 20-1 horses. Broom, Tribe Hoofin. I know you're pushing my limits there with Chad Brown and Ortiz up on Tribe Hoofin, another 20-1. And there's one more. Oh, Rock Empire. He might he's 15-1, but he could go higher in this race. Another Chad Brown. You get Chad Brown at 15-1 and 20-1. I'm taking him here. So I'm going at least four deep in here with 15 to 20 to 1s in this race. I see no favoritism to the favorite here. This one will light the tote board up.
Is that what you think, Nick?
As someone that really got dealt a bad hand by United this week and forced to drive 20 hours across four states in order to get home over the weekend, I was so happy to see United scratch out this race. No, you never wish that on a horse. But I'm, Jesus, anyone here, any of these horses made, you know, I'll believe it if you believe it on any of the horses in this field. I mean, this is, to me, really tight. To see a 9-5 in the morning line here, that says a lot about what they think about Tarnawa here. But I'm gonna try and find long shots. I'm actually going to use Yibber. Horse has come over here and won on the turf at a mile and a half after coming over. So I think that's a little bit of a plus for Charles Appleby. And then I kind of like Astronaut here at a little bit of a price. So I'm not going to pick probably a winner in this race. I think I'm going to do, you know, a three-horse box, four-horse box, and maybe to me, Tiona is kind of an interesting three-year-old filly, you know, going in the Breeders' Cup turf, coming over from Europe, kind of an interesting storyline to follow there. What an accomplishment that would be, you know, a young filly beating the older males here. But I'm going to go with Yibber. I'm going to go with Astronaut and maybe go with Tiona here and try and beat some of these better-priced horses.
What say you, Chuck Simon?
I really like a horse in this race, and I haven't heard of single person other than my co-host on the Big Monday show, Barry Spears, like this horse, and that's the number 9 Sisfa. I'm probably brutalizing his name, but Sisfahan, the German horse.
Who is actually bred in France, but
yeah, and I think he's got like an English stallion. It's kind of like Alan Carrasco for the TDN was saying something about he had this crazy connection. He's got an Italian jockey. He's got a German trainer. He's, you know, it's crazy. But the horse has gotten better and better. He only got beat a length to the German horse that came back and won the Arc de Triomphe and beat Tarwana by 3/4 of a length. So certainly he's keeping good company. I don't mind that he gets 4 pounds. It doesn't hurt. I mean, it's probably not a big deal. But I think he's got the right style, and he's kind of under the radar. I think 12-1 is probably going to be I don't think he'll be 12-1. I think he'll be a higher price than that. Tarwana, Dermot Weld, when I first started training, sent me a few horses and called me up one day out of the blue because he sent me a filly that just wasn't that good over in Europe. And I ran her in Canada, and I finished 3rd in the Graded Stake. And he called me out of the blue. I got, you know, you get those international calls. And you think it might be some guy from somewhere trying to sell you, you know, the royal
like a Nigerian prince or something.
Yeah. You know, like a $12 million sitting in the bank waiting for me just to click on this thing. But and he called me up and he said, listen, I just wanted to tell you, you did a great job with that horse. I never thought that she could be stakes quality, let alone group stakes quality. And I know, you know, people rarely praise you in this business, but I never forget that. That was about, you know, a long time ago, but it was like one of the classiest things that anyone's ever done. And I always root for Dermot Weldon, and believe me, he's a great, like, legendary trainer. He's like, not a great trainer. He's a legendary trainer. That said, I bet Tarwana last year. I got 9-2, and I don't think I'm going to be 9-2 this year. So that's why I'm going to try to use Sisfahan is my key. He's really the key for me of the day. If he wins, it's going to be a really good day for me, unless, like, just nobody else wins. I don't think this is a very strong race for the Breeders' Cup turf. The American horses really aren't very good. The European horses, they didn't send their best outside of really Tarwana. So I just, you know, there's going to be ample pace. Channel Makers, you know, drew up post 14 because him and Bolshoi Ballet got in because of the scratches. So there's going to be a lot of pace on too, which you know, it'll help Gufo as an American horse, but it'll help some of these Europeans too. So Sisfahan, that's my key. If he wins, I'm going to have a good day. Unless, you know, we have a situation where they decide that he doesn't run for – he only runs for purse money only.
Yeah, well, you know, you basically had one strong feeling yesterday, which was the two Appleby horses.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're coming back with one strong feeling here. You forgive us for being a little gun-shy about your strong feelings here.
I'm telling you, it's like – And that's why, like, when we let up the show, I'm biased. I'm totally biased. But it's a terrible look for the sport to do that, to have the – somebody on Twitter put it perfectly. They said if you like the one in that race, not only were you right, not only did the horse run good, not only are the collection – did they just win a grade one race and going to collect a $500,000 purse, but the guys who bet the four – they get to cash the ticket, your ticket. And I guess there's no worse feeling in horse racing than being right. But, I mean, this is worse than the stewards taking you down, right? I mean, we're kind of used to stewards making suspect decisions and taking horses down. But, like, you could see this coming from the half-mile pole. You know, I'm watching the race, and I'm like, this guy can't lose. He's going to blow by them all, and when he does, I'm just going to freak out. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah,
Chuck,
no,
we were talking earlier. Wasn't there a race over the summer, either in Monmouth or Saratoga, where a horse ran for purse money only for very strange conditions, something like that? Do you remember what that was?
Well, New York has a rule where – and New York is one of the last places that has coupled entries. And when one half of the entry is a late scratch, they make the other half run for purse only because if people have bet on the entry, you don't know which one they're betting on. You can't designate, right? So it does happen in New York on occasion. And that's almost not even the worst of the whole situation yesterday. It's the whole reason of why the horse was scratched, why a horse was scratched when he didn't have anything wrong with him. And that just was like, I hate the rehash just because I'm just pissed off about it. But, you know, it happened and we'll move on.
Yeah, no, and you're right to be pissed off about it. It's an insane situation, and as you said earlier, everybody involved probably should need to find a new job. In fact, will not, and some of them will probably end up in charge of racing next week, but the whole thing's just a fiasco. All right, that gets us to the Breeders' Cup Classic, $6 million by a quarter on the main track. And, Chuck, I put it to you. Can the Maryland bred get a mile and a quarter? That's the question. That's sort of the obligatory question. Can Nix Go get a mile and a quarter?
You know, I think that this race is going to be similar to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. I think Rosario is going to gun to the lead. I think he's going to open up two or three lengths. And I'll be honest, I don't see why he can't get a mile and a quarter. You know, if you take – and Brad Cox said this, and at the time, I kind of took it with a grain of salt, but he made a comment earlier in the year that Nix Go is just a two-turn horse, that the one-turn races, the race at Belmont in the Met Mile and the race in – what was it? Saudi Arabia? Did he run in Saudi Arabia?
Yep.
That race was it's a giant track there, so that's a one turn like mile and an eighth. But if you take those races out, you cross those mile race or the one turn races out, his form is spectacularly good, and he's not like holding on in these races. I mean, you watch the Whitney; he wasn't holding on in the Whitney. You know, they could have run around that track again, and it didn't look like they were going to catch him because. I just think he has a tactical speed advantage in here, and I don't think Hot Rod Charlie is a dead front runner. I don't think Art Collector certainly isn't a dead front runner. Medina Spirit has got to the lead, but he's gotten there in soft fractions. I mean, don't forget, Nix Go went 22.44 flat last year around the turn in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and opened up on those horses. So to think that, you know, with the entire stretch run, because they start at the top of the stretch. I just can't see him popping out to the lead and just taking him on their merry way. And to me, he's the horse to beat. And, I mean, certainly we never know if they can go a mile and a quarter until they do it. But, you know, kind of like Authentic, you know, I was skeptical of him being able to get the mile and a quarter. And, you know, he got to the lead. And I think if he's going to get to the mile and a quarter, you know, the mile and a quarter, it's going to be dictating his own terms. Now, you know, might Flavian Pratt try to press him early? Might John Velasquez try to press him early? I don't know. I really don't know what tactics they're going to set. But, like, if he gets to the lead and gets over to the rails, you're going to see a whole host of horses trying to get that second stalking position outside of Hot Rod Charlie, Essential Quality, Art Collector, Medina Spirit, even Max Player. They're all going to want to be in that you know, lapped on position, laying second on the outside, but only one of them is going to get there. So, you know, Hot Rod Charlie with the blinkers on, with the inside draw, might have the advantage of being able to get
to the best tactical position in the case that Knicks go just can't get the mile and a quarter. And, you know, he'll take some beating if he gets that jump. And Essential Quality is a really, really good horse. It's no tragedy, but I just think that as a four-year-old, God knows how good these horses could be. You know, I don't think we've seen the best of Essential Quality. And, you know, we've hardly seen him. We saw him in the Belmont. We saw him in the Travers. We see him in the Breeders' Cup. And then he's going home to be a daddy. So, you know, and don't forget, and I know some people don't care about the weight, but 4 pounds over a mile and a quarter probably means a little bit of something. And Hot Rod Charlie, Essential Quality, and Medina Spirit all do get 4 pounds. So that's certainly not going to hurt. But I guess to answer your question, I think you can get the mile and a quarter. And, I will probably play the race that way.
Nick, you agree?
Oh, boy. He mentioned Essential Quality late. I was hoping that he wouldn't almost mention him at all. I love Essential Quality. This is my bet of the day, not even the favorite. I think this horse just performs. Had the opportunity to see him in the Jim Dandy. Just looks like a big physically just looks like one of those types of horses. And he seems like he can get brushed, he can get bumped and win. Despite of it, if you look at the past performance lines, you'll look down and you'll see the margins, a neck, a half, a length and a half, and you don't see any sixes and eights, you know, but I just don't think he's that type of horse. He just shows up when he has to. It's almost like, you know, we didn't see that out of Zenyatta. Zenyatta didn't win races by 10 lengths, but she won them, you know, and I think that running style is just kind of what this horse has. I love Essential Quality in this spot. I'm going to single this horse here in all my multi-races. And nine-horse field, you know, this horse has won every time in a race that didn't have 19 horses in it, you know, at Churchill Downs. So, I think I just like the way this horse runs. I think he's just a gamer. I look forward to seeing this performance. I also like Art Collector here, since Belmont. There are a couple horses on the card today where Belmont's taken over the training duties, and the horses have just turned around. And I mean, what a job he's done with Art Collector. And I like Tripoli here a little bit, maybe to throw some price in the try and the super. But I love Essential Quality here.
All right. A lot of love for Essential Quality from Nick. A lot for Nick's Go from Chuck, which gets us to Derby Bill Watson. What you got?
Yeah, I think Medina Spirit comes up to the gate, bumps into the gate a little bit. They back him out. He scratches the runs for purse money only for Bob Baffert to end an extraordinary Breeders' Cup. I've seen nightmares. I've had nightmares of this happening with Medina Spirit in this race and Baffert. It's the only way to end this Breeders' Cup would be Medina Spirit winning for purse only or for purse money. Nick's right on Essential Quality. Essential Quality's the only one he's lost to is Medina Spirit in that famed Derby. So, you know, and Godolphin is set up to win the double there, the juvenile and then the juvenile turf and then the Essential Quality. So, would be fitting for Godolphin to win this one. Brad Cox and Saez up here. Saez has rode this one to every victory Essential Quality's done. And, you know, how can you go against Essential Quality unless you're a Knicks Go crazed, crab cake loving Marylander? I mean, this horse, Knicks Go, just turned it on this year. I mean, before the, you know, he's just a phenomenal year. Rosario winning yesterday sets it up nice for him. So, you know, and it's a speed-driven race. I mean, this race has got more speed than I've ever seen in the Breeders' Cup Classic in a long time. So it definitely sets up for the horses that can be there at the end, like Essential Quality and Knicks Go. Well, you know, there's a lot of a lot of hot rod Charlie type blood in this race. So, you know, basically, simply put, if my dream and my nightmare doesn't come through, I'm all over Essential Quality, just like Nick. Essential Quality overall.
All right. I like Nick's new angle, undefeated in races with less than 19 starters. It's a very specialized sort of angle, but I like it. All right. We have reached kind of the end of the road here. Let's get some final thoughts here. Chuck, let me do this. How can people get hold of your podcast, Going in Circles?
Going in Circles is we tape it Monday. Obviously, most people listen to podcasts afterwards, but if you just go to any Apple podcast, Google podcast, if you just Google Going in Circles podcast, it'll hit up a link for it. So you can go to goingincirclespodcast.com. It's not too hard to find if you're looking for it.
All right, so that's Chuck's podcast, which he often hosts, but often with another friend of the racing biz, Barry Spears, a friend of ours. So good stuff. Listen to that.
Frank,
Chuck, final thoughts on Breeders' Cup?
Frank, Monday show, I might need to find legal counsel because there's going to be some people that are going to get absolutely slammed. I wouldn't do it on your show because I want you to, you know, to get the cease and desist letters. But what happened last night can't happen. There's going to be fireworks Monday. As for today, my whole day revolves around a German horse in the turf. I just hope that we get a day, you know, with no incidences, no stupid inquiries, no horses, you know, flipping in gates or getting hurt. Just get through the day and have everybody get a semi-fair chance, and let's just see who the best horses are, because this is really what it's about. I mean, the Breeders' Cup is about, these are our quote-unquote championship events, and let's make the stuff that happens on the track a good thing, not a debacle.
That certainly sounds good to me. Now, as for law firms, Chuck, I can help you out. There's a firm called Simon & Watson that is very, very well-respected. In fact, let's bring in the principal there, Derby Bill Watson. Derby Bill, your final thoughts on Breeders' Cup Saturday.
Lawyers, guns, and money, Warren Zevon, the theme of Breeders' Cup. The new theme music, lawyers, guns, and money. Sipahan is making Mr. Simon's Breeders' Cup a make or break. It's like Liverwurst and Braunschweiger. It's for me. I can't differentiate. I mean, the German stuff gets to me.
Did you just really reference Liverwurst and Braunschweiger?
Yes, I did. I'm quite a connoisseur of German products since I drank my first Heineken many moons ago and said, man, this stuff's good. I don't hate all German.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, my final thought pattern is Frank Vespi and Mr. Simon, president and vice president, national election, racing president and vice president, 2022 campaign needs to start because the degeneration of the sport started yesterday, and the degenerates are going to revolt. And at Vespi, Simon, a ticket would be great on election day next year.
What do you say, Chuck, running mates?
I don't think we're corrupt enough to be politicians.
Fair enough. We like liverwurst.
Well, liverwurst I could do without. If the German horse wins, I'll eat all the liverwurst I can get my hands on with Heineken. We'll have a big German fest if we can get this one home.
I like it. We'll all be there for that.
Nick, hey, if Nick's horse upsets you there, we can speak gibberish in that race.
Nick, do you want to speak some gibberish here to close things out?
I think we've been doing that for some time. It's kind of fitting that the show is falling into this kind of shambles on the week that my German mom turned 92 years old, and she is the master of the red cabbage, sauerbraten, and spetzel. I actually know how to make a lot of that stuff. So, yeah,
if that German horse,
yeah, 92, born in 1929, she's seen some stuff. And still swims three times a week.
Good for her.
Isn't she the creator of Snickerdoodles? Isn't that German?
She makes the moon cookies and the hard bread cookies. The Springerle. She makes the Springerle. For today, though, just trying to rein it back in inside, try to go in a circle here. Hopefully today will be a very dull day at the Breeders' Cup, and we won't have any excitement. It's a shame that, there's some 200 races held every day on average in this country, and when controversy and drama shows up like this, people that don't follow the sport on a daily basis, all of a sudden start paying attention. It'd be great if they paid attention on what we hope is a dull day today. Baffert, purse only, whatever you have. And then just to finish off, I know the game last night was played in Farmville, but if you get the opportunity, I'll try and put this up. You should see the shot that Kid Terrific made last night shortly before halftime. I think he launched it from Dinwiddie County. It was an impressive shot. So I'll try and put that up on Facebook later today.
All right. Sounds good. That's going to do it here for us on Off to the Races. Again, I've been joined here by Chuck Simon. Catch up with his Going in Circles podcast on goingincirclespodcast.com, or just look it up on Google and you'll find it. Also by former Colonial Downs On Air handicapper and longtime voice here on Off to the Races, Derby Bill Watson. And of course, Nick Hahn, Virginia correspondent for the Racing Biz, author of the eponymous Nick's Picks Tip Sheet. Guys, thanks so much. Thanks, as always, to our listeners for being involved, being engaged. Good luck at the windows. Hopefully all the horses are going to run for actually be part of the wagering here and not purse money only today. So good luck to everybody. As we head out here, we'll be back next week at another edition of Off to the Races. You keep up with the racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic and everywhere all week long on the Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. My name's Frank Vespi. Thanks a lot for joining us. Have a great week and good luck at the windows.